This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 377 of Shutters Inc.
Welcome.
I think the needle's
Bruce,
stuck.
Bruce. Williams. Shutters up. That's what I should change that name to. Shutters up. Shutters Inc.
Shutters up podcast.
What you want to say? Welcome to the Kyle Greenleaf show.
Yes, exactly. Kyle reached out on Facebook over the last week and said that because of this podcast, he has now reformatted his machine and gone to Linux, and he's installed Darktable and is exploring the dark side.
I don't care about any of that.
Oh, I do.
I don't care about any of that, Bruce. We care that he goes, I'm listening to number 10.
Yeah, he's a new
listener. We have a new listener. We've hit double figures. Unless, of course, a few of us people have left. Yeah, that haven't told
like
us.
Scott.
Then until exactly, Scott, my friends. You know. So we're you know, I reckon by if we get to 400 episodes,
yeah,
and we're into the teens,
yeah,
we might even keep this going. The success is starting to come.
Yes.
World domination of the photo podcast is here.
We're past the bottom of the hockey stick.
We could be, I don't know, iTunes probably not the least worst, you know, the least listened to podcast. It'd be interesting if they had a rating on that. Now, how far down the totem pole do you go, you know? Yeah. We might make the new list of the top 20 least listened to photography podcasts.
Yeah.
It's been three weeks. It's been 3 weeks of just joyous abandon not having to talk to you. Oh, sorry. No, inside thought, sorry. No, it's been pretty good. I've been pretty busy.
Yeah.
I've been doing a bunch of talks.
Yep.
And preparing for said talks.
Yep.
Had to build an entire new talk, which was a fairly involved process.
Okay.
I only found out in February that I was doing it, and I only started last week to make it, and I finished it 5 minutes before going on stage.
Nice.
So never had a run through. I didn't know what the order was like. In fact, I've done two talks this last couple of days. One for Melbourne Camera Club, and that was my old talk. That was an old talk with some refreshed elements and some slight changes of topics and stuff. But
So if I can just butt in for a sec, it would be fair to say that you put as much time and effort into that as you do into this podcast.
No, I put more effort into that.
Right.
Because, I mean, anything's better than nothing. So,
yeah.
So I did a talk to Melbourne Camera Club, and that was, as I said, my old talk revamped. But then I did the whole new talk, which I did, was it last night?
Okay.
No, it wasn't. It was Monday night, so it was 2 nights ago. I'll get there.
Yeah.
I said, and it was 240 PowerPoint pages long.
Oi, oi, oi.
In 1 hour talk.
Whoa.
So crack
every 15 seconds.
Pretty much for a full hour. But here's this. I'm stopping all the way through and fixing up typos.
Oh, no.
During the talk, so, hang on a sec. No, that's not spelled that way. Stop. Add the extra K or whatever it may be. Keep on going. So I'm proofreading it whilst doing it live for the first time. Oh. So it's had no run through whatsoever. I didn't really even have a hook about even what I was going to say.
Right.
I didn't really have like a theme or an idea of what I was going to say. And I had no idea how it was going to come out because I had no idea what I was going to say for these 240 pages. I had like a loose idea, but no actual thread of knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
But it went really well. It was well received.
Excellent.
It ended up mostly being about the joy of taking a photo as opposed to worrying about so much about everything else about it. But
yeah, nice.
And it went well. It was good. So I've been busy trying to build that talk.
Yeah.
Doing the talks. And last Saturday, which we didn't get a chance to talk about last week because of me doing a talk.
Yeah.
I did the Project Street 730 project.
Yes, which Steve Peters was keen to hear about.
He was. So, for Steve's and everyone else's sake, we'll give a little wee chat about it now.
Yeah.
So, this guy called Craig Witchen, have we ever had him on the podcast? So, we had him on the podcast.
He's,
right?
He's only co-hosted a couple of times in your absence.
There you go. Craig. That's him. So, he of the Men's Shed book.
Yes.
A part-time teacher at Photographic Studies College here in Melbourne. And his mate, Steve Scalone.
right.
just came up with this idea for a photo project where they got 30 photographers together to go out in the morning and shoot, had a couple of hours to shoot some street photography, head back to this gallery, edit all their edit their images, find their hero image, print that image out on A2 paper during the, that afternoon, get it mounted, and and open an exhibition at 7:30 that night.
Of 30 images.
Of 30 images from 30 different photographers.
Yeah.
All displayed, mounted, signed, bioed, all that kind of stuff underneath it. And then auctioned off at the end of the night for charity.
Nice.
So it was Kids Undercover Charity where they raise funds for homeless street children.
Right.
So it was a great project to be involved in.
Right.
So I got called off the bench after... Craig made 400 phone calls and everyone said no. And then he got really desperate and called me, which is not entirely true because then someone else pulled up after me.
Oh, okay.
And they got even more desperate and called some people like a friend of mine called Simon Pollock. They called him up. I mean, and he's the guy who's following me around taking my photos on the day. So, there's no hope there. So we called and it was to work for this charity called Kids Undercover.
Okay.
And Kids Undercover supports homeless youth.
Right.
So it was good. So over the course of the night, so we went out, we shot, we came back, we edited. At the auction, we raised over $11,500 for a charity.
Wow.
Which is pretty good. My lone little print sold for $450.
Nice.
Which was, you know, I'd asked the film crew. I had a film crew following me around for the day, a video crew and still photo guys following me taking photos of stuff. And I said, look, be ready to film me. If I don't get a bid, I'm doing the walk of shame out the building. And you go, you need to film that. But the average sell price per print was $380. So I beat that a little bit. I upped the odds a little bit. So that was nice. Yeah.
Nice.
But some really nice work, some really good stuff.
Awesome.
It was a struggle to do, I might add. I must say, especially having someone filming you, expecting you to do good stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And this is something I talk about all the time when I travel and stuff, about not trying to be too clever and stuff. Yeah, don't try to be too clever with your photos sometimes. And I think I spent most of the time trying to be too clever, trying to produce, to create something too unique or too interesting.
Right.
And therefore, maybe I missed the obvious good stuff. You know, that's a possibility.
But having said all that, your hero image was one of those tricky shots.
It was, but that's because I didn't do much of anything else.
Right.
And what I loved about the hero image, the problem of the day was we started at 7:30 in the morning. And in the city at 7:30 in the morning, there's not that many people around doing much stuff.
Sure.
So it's a pretty empty city. But I had this little laneway I wanted to go to. The lane's only about 4 foot wide, 5 foot wide.
Yep.
And probably 100 to 120 feet long.
Yep.
So I was waiting to have someone interesting walking through this laneway and have all these, you know, converging lines. I was either going to do, you know, a frozen shot, you know, down low, or I was going to do a blurred shot with some slow shutter speed stuff, which is what I ended up doing. I ended up doing a 2 second long shot.
Yep.
But what was really funny is I'm following these people down the laneway.
Yeah.
So the person's walking, I'm trying to walk behind them with a 15 mil lens.
Right.
So I'm like 4 or 5 feet directly behind them, trying to match their pace without them knowing I'm there. Behind me is a videographer with a steady cam rig following me. Behind him is another guy with a still camera photographing. So if these people stopped and turned around, there's this crew of three people chasing them down the laneway, which I thought was quite hilarious. And it gave me much joy and much mirth. So in the end, I put a few photos up on the internet to get people to vote for which one I should put up.
Right.
And then I ignored their advice, put up the one I wanted anyway.
Yep.
So for better or worse. But it was interesting. Craig's looking at bringing this around to all the cities of Australia.
Nice.
So the exhibition's still going for a month. So it's on exhibition in Brunswick for a month. And then, in Kensington for a month. And then he's going to go and do one in Perth. He's going to do one here, there and everywhere sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Well, for Melbourne listeners, I'll endeavour to get the details of where that exhibition is happening, and we'll put that in the show notes. So if you want to go and check it out, you can.
8 Elizabeth Street, Kensington, the Fox Darkroom and Gallery.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Doesn't even need notes. Doesn't even require any more effort from you.
Nice.
It's kind of good. So So what else have I been doing? I'm glad you asked. So part of the reason I was being followed around by a film crew was I was trialing the new Think Tank Streetwalker 2
backpack
slash roller bag. So it's part roller bag, part backpack.
Yep.
And giving that a good solid run for the day. And I've got to say, I think I've finally found my perfect bag.
Yeah, they're great.
Because it's having the ability to roll the bag around, especially when it's got all your gear in it, when it weighs 15 kilos of weight, be able to roll it around. But then when you start shooting, you've got your two cameras out, your two heavy lenses out, the bag's nowhere near as bad, and you want to be a little bit more dynamic, you shove it on your back and you scoot around the streets.
Yep.
And then when you're done for the day, you pack everything up and roll it on home.
Sorry, is this a low-pro bag?
No, this who?
Yeah, well, that's why I wasn't sure, because you didn't actually say, you mentioned the product name, but you didn't say who the manufacturer was.
I just say Think Tank.
Oh, okay, cool. Sorry.
Think Tank, But the Think Tank, Think Tank. Did I mention that I'm now a Think Tank ambassador?
I think you have now,
So I'm a Think Tank ambassador. So it's a Think Tank bag. Right. It's from Santa Rosa, California.
The only reason I said that was because I thought that other company had a bag called a Pro Roller, but maybe not.
No, they do have a Pro Roller. This is called a Streetwalker.
Oh, I was close.
Yep. Yep. They both end in ER.
There you go.
I'll give you that.
So you're happy with the bag?
I love the bag.
Excellent.
Just, here's the thing. It's not as big as my old rolling bags.
Right.
It doesn't have the square edges, so it feels smaller.
Right.
It's got like the backpack sort of rounded edges, so it feels smaller.
Yep.
It's not made of that heavy, hard material that the roller bags are made of, so it feels not as big because it's that more back soft material. I stacked in it two bodies, six lenses, two flash guns, two triggers, grid modifiers, an umbrella, a small softbox, spare batteries, my Narbox portable computer, two 500 gig SSD drives, some cables, spare memory cards, bottle of water, and some other stuff.
And then you gave $2 to a homeless person to carry it for you.
Three. And that's the thing. So once I had the two big heavy bodies and the two big, my 15 to 30 and my 70 to 200 out, and shoot like I was shooting around my shoulder, the weight of the bag obviously drops significantly.
Yeah.
And it's fine to carry all day long. And if you do start getting a bit fatigued, especially walking around the city, you can just put it on the floor and roll it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's an excellent bag. I'm looking forward to using it quite a bit more and really getting get it worn in a little bit, as they say, and get a bit of a feel. Speaking of the Project 730, though, so this walking down the alleyway 2 second long shot, quite a few people asked about it and they go, how did you do it? And it's pretty simple. It's 2 seconds and walk and try and match the pace of the person in front of you.
Yeah.
But once I've done the shot, I turned around and my video guy was there saying, do that but walking towards me. So I started walking towards him doing the shots and he was walking backwards. So he's got this really cool footage that I put up where it looks like I'm standing still and the walls are moving past me. So that looks really
nice.
Really cool video footage. So I want to thank Lee Herbert from Capturing Passion. If anyone needs any video stuff doing in Australia, he's your man. He's awesome.
Cool.
He's a lovely, lovely guy. He's very short, but we don't hold that against him. I did put him in the middle of our main mall in the middle of our city. I did put two big boxes on him and make him stand there and pretend to be camouflaged.
Right. Yes, I did see that.
That's probably not the nicest thing to do to somebody. And then the last bit of exciting news is I became a Black Rapid Straps ambassador this week as well.
Nice.
So I've been using Black Rapid straps for years.
Yeah.
Years and years. So I found them with the very first photo show they did, which was I think 7 or 8 years ago, back in maybe 9 years ago now, in Vegas, I found them. And I loved the concept of – so the great thing about Black Rapid straps is they go across your body left to right, over your shoulder, and the camera dangles at your hip. So it takes all the weight off your neck and puts it down the core of your spine.
Yeah.
Now, I've had a bad back and for years, so this was like bliss for me, not having to feel the weight of the cameras.
Yep.
And I tend to use two single straps crossed over like a bandolero, like a bullet vest, and two cameras out all the time.
Yeah, right.
So it's really improved the way I shoot, because you can just pick up a camera, literally just drop it, and it just slides down the strap whilst you're grabbing the other one. It's you know, there's really no worrying about bang. So if you lean forward, it doesn't swing forward and swing out like a over the shoulders, over the neck strap would do.
Yep.
And it doesn't fall off your shoulder all the time like an over your shoulder strap would do. So it really changed the way I started shooting.
Excellent.
And so I've been using them for years and years. And so we got in touch this week, and they want to be the only Australian ambassador, which is kind of nice. And then the Aussie on their website. So they can put me on the website and do some little promotional stuff for me. And I'm in the midst of writing a blog story for them, which is nice. And it's good. So it's nice to have them on board. And what I'm going to try and do is score a few freebies to give out.
Fantastic.
So if I can get some, I'm meeting with the Australian reps tomorrow, and we'll see what we can do.
Any chance you can get one for your co-host before next Friday for my European trip?
You're going away?
Yes. I've been telling you that for 12 months.
Does that mean we're not going to do any podcasts?
For 5 weeks, yeah. This will be the last.
You bloody ripper. This is the last one for 5 weeks.
This is the last one for 5 weeks.
Kyle, what a special episode. Dude, you've won the lottery. You get your own show. And then you'd have to put up with this for 5 whole weeks. That is pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
It's short notice.
I know.
I'll see what I can do.
I know.
So I don't know if they've got stock. I don't know what. Now, I don't know if I'll be getting anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'll be getting stuff, but I don't know if I'll be getting it tomorrow. Stuff.
Okay.
But let me see what I can do. I'm just meeting with them tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
I'm doing a talk tomorrow night at another photo talk tomorrow night at Ted's Camera Stores.
Right.
It is the street, Melbourne. So if anyone is listening and they're in Melbourne next week on the 15th of June, I am doing a lunchtime talk at Michael's on photography.
Thursday.
That's right. And that's the new talk I came up with, finished a couple of nights ago, the expurgated version of that for Michael's, because I've only got 40 minutes for them, not an hour. So I don't want to do 240 slides in 40 minutes. That might be pushing the friendship a little bit too far.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so if anyone's around in the city of Melbourne next Thursday, the 15th, I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure exactly what time it's on. Maybe I should find out. But, you know, maybe give them a call and find out. I think it's a no reservation required. Just rock on up.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so that's been my couple of weeks. I've been quite flat out.
Excellent.
So if you're going away, you must be prepping your camera gear, getting everything ready.
Yeah, well, look, over the last couple of weeks, I've done another round of portraits for the cadet unit, because they take in a new, like a mid-year induction of new cadets. And so we did a whole new series of portraits for them. So for that, I had a white backdrop, which was just, you know, cotton, white cotton on a roll. Which we hung over a wardrobe in the mess hall, and I put a light up on a short stand, you know, probably only 3.5-4 feet off the ground, and had the kids stand in front of that, fired that at the white backdrop to blow the backdrop out to white, and then just had a medium softbox slightly off to one side in front of them, a couple of feet out, and did all their headshots. So that's...
How'd they go?
Good. Great. They're absolutely wrapped in them. So,
awesome.
So that was good. And then on Monday...
So they haven't seen many other photos, obviously, then.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. And then Monday of this week, Max had a school excursion down...
Who's Max?
My son Max had a school excursion down to Sydney to see Vivid. Part of his photography class in school. And so he had said to me, can you drive the car rather than ride the motorbike and pick me up afterwards rather than me having to take the school bus home, because we're probably not going to get back to the Central Coast till, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock. And so I said, yeah, all right, no worries. What time do you think you're going to finish? And I was sure he'd said 9 o'clock. Apparently it was meant to be 10 o'clock. so anyway, so I put a message up on the Sydney Photographers Meetup group and said, look, I'm not going to create an official, you know, event for this, but Monday night I'm going to be hanging around the quay and the rocks waiting for my son. If anyone wants to join me, give me a yell. And Peter Samble gave me a gave me a call and said he would like to hook up.
Who?
Peter Samble. He's contributed to this podcast on many an occasion.
Has he? So, not since I've been around.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
Has he? Sambo?
So I met him and had a yarn with him, and met another guy called Carl, who has also joined the Sydney Photographers Meetup group, but in the days since I last did an organised shoot. So he didn't know anything about me or who I was or anything like that. And the three of us caught up and wandered around and took some photos and taught Carl a little bit of off-camera flash stuff. So it's been a little bit photographically busy the last couple of weeks.
My goodness. For you, that's a veritable, it's like a downpour of photography.
It is for me.
It's like 6 months worth, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I am.
Did you get any nice vivid shots?
I got a couple of images that are okay, but I'm not blown away with them. But
not show me then.
Sorry?
But not show me then, if you think they're any sort of okay.
Yeah, exactly. So Kath and I leave the country next Sunday. So, what's that?
Really?
18th? Yeah. So, really looking forward to this trip away. We've been 12 months without a holiday and feel like we need it, and looking forward to the photographic opportunities around Europe. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. Now, you mentioned, I've talked about Kyle, talked about Vivid. The backup images plan for Europe has changed.
Really?
Yeah. So originally, I shouldn't say originally, but the last time
we going to Europe.
Spoke about this, I mentioned that David Oastler had offered to lend me this little device that he's got, something like your Narbox, but a bit different. And yeah. I just happened to be having a conversation with one of the voiceover guys that I work with on a regular basis. And I was saying about how, you know, I wanted something that I could back up to every night and be able to do my keywords so that, you know, when I get home here, you know, 5 weeks from now, all the keywords will be done and I won't be struggling to remember what a particular, you know, landmark was called or where it was or whatever. And the tablet that I currently have, which is a Samsung Galaxy Tab 2, runs Android, obviously, and none of the apps that I've found on Android do keywords that are compatible with Darktable. And this voiceover guy, Bill, said, because I'd mentioned that I was thinking of maybe buying a new tablet, and he said, well, have you got a version of Lightroom that's not subscription-based? And I went, yeah, I paid for version 5. And he said, well, why don't you buy something like the Samsung Galaxy Tab Pro S, which runs Windows 10, because then you could install Lightroom 5 on it. And I was like, my God, why did I not think of this? So that's what I've done. I've ordered the Galaxy Tab Pro S. It should arrive tomorrow. And I will install Lightroom 5 on it, and I'll use Lightroom to manage all my photos while I'm traveling. I'll be able to do backups every night. This device has got 128 gigs of memory, like it's got an SSD 128 gig drive. So that'll probably be enough to carry all my images, but I will also take a 128 gig USB key so I can duplicate everything just so that, you know, in some worst case scenario, something happens to the tablet.
And if it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the plan.
Well, that's the reason I use the Microsoft Surface, for the same reason.
Right.
So I can run Photoshop and I can run Lightroom.
Yeah.
While on a tablet, but also with a keyboard.
Yes.
When I want it, when I'm traveling. So it's like
this is a keyboard. This is very much has a keyboard. As part of it, it's very much like a Surface Pro.
Cool.
Yeah. Although the CPU is not as highly specced as the CPUs on the Surface Pros. This is an M series processor, so it's a bit of a scaled back processor, but it'll do the job for what I need it to do. So
exactly. As long as it does that, you're not trying to do batch processing or anything like that. No. It's going to be
And the thing was, this is $750, where all your Surface Pros, you know, start at about $1,300. So significant saving in coin.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the nice. That's the backup plan for Europe.
Fabulous stuff.
All right. So, shall we get on to a couple of user-contributed stories?
Why not?
Okay. First one was from Steve Peters, and this was a band's not-so-impressive response to being called out on copyright infringement. This was a band...
So you mean stealing someone's photos, or...?
Yeah, so basically this photographer in Sydney had photographed one of the members of the band at one of their Sydney gigs. Next thing, they're using that image, which I'm assuming they'd pulled from his Instagram or something, but they'd cropped out his watermark. And then he, you know, found this infringing use, wrote to the band's management and said, hey, listen, you know, I don't do this for free. You know, I'm trying to make a living out of this. You really should be paying me for it. So then they changed, they put his name on the image. And he wrote back to them and said, no, that's not what this is about. You need to pay for the use. And they basically just went, nah, blow it out your butt. And when he said he was going to get lawyers involved, they went, lol, go for it. So I haven't read the entire story, but I did see towards the end that they... The band tweeted, we have addressed this issue, most of which was a misunderstanding, and are paying for the photo. Thanks. Sorry, Rowan. That's the name of the photographer. But, yeah, not a great way to handle the situation. Jeez.
Yeah, but it is in some ways, in a lot of ways. You know, first up, what are bands renowned for?
Oh.
They're not renowned for towing the line and doing nice things. They're sure. Not young punkish. They're kind of a bit of anarchy.
Yeah.
So some young bloke no one's ever heard of who took a photo of them, and it's a photo of them.
Yep.
It's not as well. It's not a photo of something else that's stolen. It's a photo of me. It's my act, my entertainment, me. Yeah. And you've taken it. You've posted it on social media. And I've happened to grab it. You know. Yeah. They're not going to go, oh, yes, no, certainly, we understand your point here, and yes, let's get to the negotiation table and see. I would laugh at him too.
Right.
So it's kind of fun. They don't mind a bit of controversy, a bit of fun, a lot of bands, you know. So I'm happy you got a good outcome at the end. But, you know, you pays your money, it takes your chances. You don't put a photo up with a watermark over the most important bit. Someone's going to steal and use it. That's your fault.
Okay.
Frankly, if you don't want your image stolen and someone else using it, put a bloody watermark over the bit that's important.
Fair enough.
Or don't put it up on the internet at all.
Yeah.
I want people to steal my photos. I'm gutted no one does. What's wrong with my photos? Aren't they good enough? Nobody ever... I would love to be able to bleat and moan that someone's stolen my photo. Yeah, it never happens.
Oh,
mind you, this one band did do one of my videos, but they did credit me, but that was okay. it's you know what I mean. It's like, get over yourself a little bit, right. You know. If this was for a magazine, he says here, I'm shooting for a Sydney publication. Then why are you publishing it for yourself?
Yeah,
Has that publication already published it? Have they already got their money's worth out of the image?
That's a good question.
Is it licensed? Did you license the image to them and now you're going out doing stuff with it as well? Yeah, did you put links on your face, on your photo to the magazine it was going to be put into, maybe generate some income for them?
That's a good point.
Did you tag that magazine saying, hey, check out the magazines? What did you do for them?
That's a good point.
Yeah. There's always two sides to the story, then there's the truth, you know?
Yeah, there's always.
So you take this guy's point of view, fair enough. Yeah, take this other guy. Yeah, there's no way. He might seek legal advice, but I guarantee you, it's going to cost him far more in legal advice than he'll ever get back from the image. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, bad luck, you know? And when you're dealing with a band called Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, you know, I'm thinking you're not expecting a logical response. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Still. I think we all get out of this. I mean, it will get a little bit precious over it, you know?
I guess it depends. I mean, if he's trying to make a living out of it, then I could understand him being a bit disgruntled by the situation.
Yeah. I wonder if he's ever downloaded a song illegally. ever watched a pirated movie?
Yeah, good point.
But certainly there's something about music and videos. Yeah. Let's go check out his library, shall we? And make sure he's never taken away from some artist's work without paying for it.
Yeah.
Has he ever not taken a piece of clip art or something off the internet and put it into his photo as a montage piece of art, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, Adam sent us one from DIYphotography.net. India requires license for photographers so they don't pester visitors in protected monuments. So have you already been to India and photographed the Taj Mahal? If you haven't, from now on, you may need a license to do it. What were you going to say?
No, I haven't read that. Just because I'm going to India again soon. So it's like... The Archaeological Survey of India changing their photography policy. They will soon require photographers to be licensed. It's just it's a money grab.
Cash grab. Yep.
I mean, already in all the monuments, you're going to pay a photographer's fee.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're already paying a fee to go in there and to shoot.
Yep.
Per camera. Okay.
Yep.
So all I see is them increasing the fee of what they're already charging. From memory, it's 300 rupee per camera, which I think equates to like $3 or $4 or something, to go into the Taj, something like that. So but I love this. The tourists that pester visitors. It's a great, great thing.
Freelance photographers who pester the visitors is what they're saying. The reason for this move by ASI is to prevent freelance photographers from pestering the visitors who want to take photos. Well, it seems like everyone wants to take photos.
Yeah, but so why would a freelance photographer pester a visitor who's taking a photo?
Beats me.
They would pester a visitor who isn't taking a photo. Say, I can take a photo for you and send it to you. I don't know. It's just one of those typical only in India kind of things.
Yeah.
Just regarding the last one with the red jumpsuit apparel, did you cover the fact that the hashtag they started?
I did not mention that. No. Yes.
And they want all their fans to retweet. But here's the thing, though. You know, they had 15 favorites and 10 retweets. It's not really setting the world on fire.
No, exactly.
So they're not the world's most dominant band. No, that's kind of funny.
And what do you got on your list?
I've got not a great deal. Because I thought I'd be away 3 weeks, you'd have stacks.
Right.
But you know, so much for that. But I did see a town in Switzerland, a Swiss town, that banned photography.
Right.
They banned anyone photographing the town.
What?
Completely. You are not allowed to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because the place is so beautiful, they don't want people feeling bad when they see photos of it that they're not there.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly right there. And it's we don't want to. They claim it's an effort to protect the feelings of anyone who might happen to see a picture shared on social media, showcasing the area's natural charms and experience FOMO, fear of missing out. They've even put a video together asking NASA to scramble satellite images of the town in compliance with the ban.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And anyone caught violating the ban will face a fine of 5 Swiss francs, about $5.
Right.
So then 5 days later, they rescinded the ban due to the uproar and the amount of people talking about it. But here's the thing. The whole thing was a PR stunt.
Yeah. Right.
To make the town more famous, to make people want to go there, right. To make it as a tourism thing. It's absolutely fabulous. Yeah,
and the people who are most annoyed are the people who visited the town during the 5 days that the ban was in place. Because now they've got no memories of it at all.
No photos. But I think it's just making this whole video to NASA to please scramble. It's hilarious. It's just so well done. Yeah, it's so Swiss. Yeah. So anyway, just if you're ever going to Bergen in Switzerland. You're okay. You can take photos. It's nothing to worry about. Now, I did see a few of my Nikon buddies online this week getting all a bit hot and heavy about the new Nikon 8-15 that's been announced and released.
Okay.
So I thought we could mention it. So I mean, if you like an ultra wide lenses,
yeah,
and having it as a zoom is fabulous. I'd love an 8-15 zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got my 15 to 30, but I'd love, yeah. This is for a 35 mil sensor camera. So it is 8 mil. It's not 12 mil or 16 mil or whatever. So it's an 8 to 15 mil fisheye lens, which I think would be fabulous.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah. Very nice.
The very last thing, I've got on my list. So the Kyle Greenleaf episode is going to be a little bit of a short one.
Right.
Yeah, which is probably what he wants. Is this thing called Arsenal that's on Kickstarter.
Okay.
And basically it's artificial intelligence for your camera.
Okay.
So you connect it to your camera, set it up and open up with your iPhone, and you point it at a scene and it analyzes the scene.
Right.
Okay, so you're aiming at a waterfall, therefore you're going to want a slow shutter speed to blur the water, and it comes out the optimum settings for every scene you point at.
What?
So you no longer need to know anything. It compares the scene it's looking at with 15,000 other photos or something.
Right.
And that were the optimum settings for that scene.
What's the point? What's the point of being a photographer? If you're going to go for that, then there's...
I think this is fat.
Oh, it's crap.
It's just wonderful.
It's crap.
All this... Oh, it's fantastic. there's just no need to learn anymore. There's no need to... You don't need the satisfaction.
You're just saying that to be contrary. I came here for an argument. No, you didn't.
You didn't. Yes, I did. Sorry, is this the 5-minute argument or the full half hour? It does everything. It's fabulous. But here's the thing. It's a Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
They tried to raise $50,000.
Right.
So far, they're at $971,000.
And 15 days to go.
$971,000.
But honestly, there's no need to think through an image once you've got this. And isn't part of the...
That's the point.
Isn't the point of photography the problem solving?
Obviously not for these people, but 970,000.
Yeah.
So I put this on Facebook and someone said, yeah, but it won't tell you where to stand and where to point the camera. And my response to that was, yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yet.
Yeah.
It'll line up the best posture and say, put your tripod, it'll talk to you soon. Put your tripod lower, a bit lower, there, right there. That's it. Stop.
Now, well, before long, it'll just be a robot that's walking beside you, carrying your bloody Pro Roller bag with its 25 kilos of gear in it.
Don't mention the Pro Roller anymore.
Oh, sorry, the Streetwalker.
Old sponsor. You can't talk about the old sponsor. They're not a sponsor anymore. Think Tank. Yeah. Think Tank. Now on. That's what I'm saying. Think Tank.
It'll set the tripod up. In fact, it won't even have a tripod. It'll just hold the camera for you.
The camera will have its own built-in drone, so it'll just hover.
Yeah. Yes.
Won't need to get tripod.
The DSLR will just be built into the head of the robot, and you just go, get a photo of that for me.
It does it all. It automates stacking techniques. It does everything.
That's just crazy.
It does focus stacking automatically, long exposures, time lapses.
Yeah, right.
Oh, speaking of landscaping type stuff, my Cradle Mountain workshop is completely filled.
Awesome.
And so we're taking expressions of interest for either a second one or a waiting list if someone pulls out of this one. So
nice.
Just if anyone was thinking, umming about that, it's fully booked up.
Fantastic.
And it's awesome. It's good. Yeah, it's nice stuff.
And how's the numbers for your psychotic break going?
I think I need two people still or one person.
Yeah, right.
Like that. Sure. So that's all good. And my Western Australian one, if any of my Western Australian listeners out in the wheat belt at the end of July, I need a couple more people for that. So come on, cool. Come along, have some fun, take some photos, shoot some models, bury them out the back, no one will find them. we're gonna have some fun over there. So so that's all good. So been a busy week booking all that sort of stuff too.
Yeah, right.
Which is good. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's it. I've got nothing else. The Kyle Greenleaf episode's coming to an end.
It is. So,
if you'd like your own episode, donate $5 to Bruce's PayPal.
Yeah.
Donate $3 and we won't name it after you.
Yeah. All right, mate. Will you enjoy your 5 weeks off?
Well, you have a fabulous time.
I will.
And
totally will.
Yeah. And just let me know when you're back, I guess.
Yep.
Because I'll have forgotten.
Yeah, you will. You'll be going, Bruce who?
Bruce who?
Who are you and why are you on my Skype?
Friday, the 23rd of June, just whilst I think about it. Yeah. Anyone in Adelaide, I'll be at Diamonds Cameras in Adelaide for pretty much the whole day. I'm doing a talk, but that's sold out. I'm doing a photo walk, but that's sold out. But during the rest of the time, I'll be on their Tamron stand there talking travel photography. So if anyone's in the area, pop in, say hello.
So what is Diamonds? Is it a camera
store? Diamonds
is
a camera store. Right. Yeah, camera store. Anyone from South Australia would know it's the biggest camera store there.
Okay.
So come and hang out and say hello or something. Bring me a long black coffee. It'd be lovely.
Excellent.
Maybe a donut.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, you have an enjoyable 5 weeks. I will certainly have an enjoyable 5 weeks, and we'll talk to you when I get back.
Where are you going to again? You going to?
Antarctica.
No. What country?
So we're flying into Geneva on the French side, and then we're traveling down through France, down into.
Don't take Geneva. Don't take any photos.
Why?
Atlanta, are you? I think they're putting a ban across several of European countries now. Not allowed to take any photos because it's too beautiful, and we'll all be jealous that we're not there.
Yeah, right. So down to the south of France, then through Andorra into Spain. Through Spain, into Portugal, up the coast of Portugal, back into Spain, up to Paris, drop off the car, couple of days in Paris, and then over to London, pick Max up from the school group, then fly home to Phuket, couple of days in Phuket, and then back to Sydney.
So fly home to Phuket. I said, what's this meant to be living there?
Yeah.
Awesome. Fabulous trip.
I will do that.
Make sure you learn some of the language. You can talk to people.
We'll certainly try to, yeah.
So... Well, if you're in France, it's like konnichiwa, if you want to say hello to somebody. And sayonara as you leave. Yeah. They'll love that. Yeah. The French are known for their sense of humour. Yeah. And don't try and speak French to them. They hate that. They prefer you to speak bad English at them.
Right.
They hate it when you try and speak French.
Right. All right, mate. We'll talk to you in a month.
Bye, everybody.
See ya. All right, I almost forgot. David Marland sent me an email with a story that he said, I thought this might be something a little bit different. And this was a story on Petapixel, which was actually a link to a YouTube video. And the heading pretty much says it all. This camera inside a water bucket got unusual views of animals drinking. So it's only about a minute 50. It's not super long. Go and have a look at that. It's quite interesting. There's an array of different animals that come and drink out of this bucket. And yeah, certainly something different. Thank you, David. And while we're speaking of David Marland, must be time for a book review. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Bruce. This time I'm looking at Photographs by John Sarkowski. This is actually a second book from John Sarkowski I've reviewed. He was the director of the New York Museum of Modern Art from 1962 to 1991. And while the first book, The Photographer's Eye, was based around a 1964 exhibition, this is something a little bit different. The subtitle gives some idea of what's inside the covers. 100 pictures from the collection of the Museum of Modern Art. John, in his introduction, describes this as, "This is a picture book, and its purpose is to provide material for simple delectation. It's basically an indulgence of his." But the introduction continues for about 5 pages and indicates that it's designed to show what's in the New York Museum of Modern Art, what they've collected, and why they've collected it, but also to talk about the interdependencies of a range of visual arts. He makes an interesting point, and that is that in 1929, when the museum was founded, purchasing a painting by Cézanne was regarded as being very adventurous. So the proposition that photography deserved serious critical study would have been simply unintelligible to the directors of most art museums at the time. So what does an adventurous art museum collect? Well, John admits that the 100 photographs is less than 1% of the museum's collection, and as he was writing in the early 70s, there's probably even less now. The layout's simple. There's one photograph on the right-hand side of the opening, with John's rather elegant context and description on the left. And that description is something worth reading and worth considering. And yes, many of the great names in photography are represented. None with more than a single photograph, though. And to be perfectly honest, Very few I have seen before by those same photographers. And indeed, in many cases, the subject is not what you expect from them. The Steiglitz is a casual portrait. The Edgerton, famous for his high-speed photography, depicts a boot kicking a ball rather than a milk splash or a bullet going through a light. The Cartier-Bresson is unusual. Steichen's is part of the Parthenon. And there are also a couple of World War I aerial reconnaissance photographs, just thrown in for good measure, but the patterning is incredible. This book was first published in 1973 and it's been reprinted many times, but it's never been re-edited. But don't let that fool you. Some of these photographs, taken nearly 100 years ago, look really fresh and contemporary. Apart from the style of shoes she's wearing, Georgina Engelhardt's portrait could have been taken any time in the past 10 years instead of 1921. Looking at photographs, 100 pictures from the collection of the Museum of Modern Art by John Sarkowski is published by the Museum of Modern Art, New York. Book O lists 5 editions. The one I have is the newest, 2009 reprint. It's available from about $35 through to $117 new. Cheers.
Excellent, David. Thank you. All right, well, that does this podcast for the next 5 weeks. I shall enjoy my travels around Europe and I will speak to you all when I get back. Take care.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.